Welcome to Disruptive Branding by Saffron Brand Consultants. In this podcast, we will share the most important insights that we have gathered from several decades of working closely with some of the world's most disruptive brands. We will show how every business, startup to enterprise, can design its brand using disruptive thought and action. From how-to sessions with members of our executive team to conversations with our clients, learn firsthand how to position your brand to compete with disruptive challenges and to challenge and disrupt yourself. So today I'm joined by Elliot, Sean and Carmen from the Saffron Strategy Department. And today we're going to speak about the fact that Lush has recently quit social media. So Sean, do you want to maybe give us a bit of an overview as to why they've done this? What does it mean? Is it completely crazy?
Great. Yeah, thanks, Zara. So yeah, very recently Lush has decided to quit all the social media, most of their social media platforms, excluding Twitter and YouTube. And the sort of reasoning behind this is because they think that the sort of culture of social media doesn't really align with their sort of brand positioning, which is very much rooted in sort of well-being. And I don't think this is necessarily a crazy move from Lush in particular, given they have quite a track record of sort of taking up social causes and political stances, you know, whether it's combating animal cruelty or their kind of Gay is Okay campaign. So I think this is kind of very much in line with their brand positioning. But as to whether it's a crazy move from sort of a communication strategy point of view or sort of business operations point of view, I think is something maybe we can discuss.
So I think there's a bit of a precedent as well. Like they're not the first brand to do this. I think a while ago, Weatherspoons just completely said that they were gonna quit social and kind of gave the reason more that just the burden was on, you know, managers basically effectively to kind of handle local feeds, and they just didn't feel like that was a good use of time. I think like people have sort of mentioned in the past, like we were at a place, I think, a few years ago where everyone felt like they had to be on all social channels. And I think we're getting to the point where people are kind of thinking a bit more carefully about, you know, what channels are right for them and what do they want to be on and not be on. And I think obviously in this instance, it's not a blanket ban. They've decided to stay on Twitter and YouTube. And I think Twitter, for the reasons of kind of still handling customer service. So customers still can reach them really easily and YouTube for other reasons. But I think it raises an interesting consideration around what's right for a brand and what isn't, which I think is an interesting step forward, as opposed to kind of having to be on everything, which probably isn't right or feasible for every brand.
As Elliot has said, I think it's interesting, but I think they've actually done this before, I think in 2019. So that's something I think to take account for when we have this conversation. It's a very strategic move and it's created a lot of buzz. And I think timing is also something very interesting because as of today, Black Friday is the day they chose to stop using some of these platforms. So I think it's a strategic move as well.
Yeah, the cynic in me would say, is it a PR stunt? Will they just go back to social pretty soon, or what do you think?
I mean, it's interesting given that the reason they returned, as you've said, Carmen, they returned back to social media once sort of the pandemic hit, and they realized that obviously what they normally rely on, which is, you know, they're very experiential storefronts, you know, can't be the sort of main source of kind of customer interaction. So they had to sort of rely on social media again. So it does sort of beg the question as to whether, you know, what their sort of communication strategy is going to be going forward, you know, what channels they'll leverage beyond their stores and kind of the way that they interact with customers. You know, will they kind of create more video content? Will they, you know, channel all that investment into their app and website? I think at the moment they have a very strong sort of cult following, and that sort of allowed them to maybe take this move. But what I sort of wonder is how they'll kind of acquire new customers sort of going forward, because I don't think, you know, storefronts and you know, existing sort of organic content is going to, you know, be able to reach perhaps, you know, a wider audience. So I think that's something that they might need to take into consideration.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think they were saying that a relatively small amount of sales come directly through social, but I think, you know, the reality is that it's very easy just to stay top of mind if, you know, if you're following a brand and you know, inevitably you're browsing through stuff and you see them, you know, I think they probably, if they were to keep it up long term, would suffer in terms of being top of mind and would suffer in terms of salience. Like, I think the reality is that without being active on those channels, it's just, you know, going to be harder effectively to stay top of mind. I think probably they would suffer a little bit from a sales perspective, but I think what will be interesting, like we were saying earlier, is whether, you know, effectively the brand is prepared to kind of put, you know, its money where its mouth is, and let's see if in 6 to 12 months time, if numbers are really suffering from a sales point of view, you know, are they still going to be prepared to take this stance on the grounds of positioning or values, or will actually, like the case of the pandemic, will they return because it's just not sustainable? That'll be an interesting one to see in 6 to 12 months time.
Are there certain industries that you think are kind of a total, like, I mean, you'd think that like consumer goods would be one of them where you say like this is a total no-go, but are there any other industries that you think, you know, just this wouldn't be possible for?
I think we talked about it before a little bit, in the sense that probably if you don't have a retail presence, it's going to be much, much harder, in the sense that and particularly a large retail presence as well, not you know, a very small footprint, but you know, I think without having those effectively those kind of billboards out in the world, again, to kind of keep you top of mind, I think it'll probably be harder for any business that definitely doesn't have a retail presence, for sure.
I also think like probably luxury fashion, that realm, in terms they heavily rely on social media, no matter with collaborators, you know, with influencers, kind of that's the way, the trajectory that they're doing with these collaborations. And I think it's a total no-go because now everyone's glued to their phone and it's a key way that they acquire customers.
I think another point that you made, Carmen, as well, when we were having a chat about this, was that it relies heavily on a brand having a really strong community, and in Lush's case they do, so it might not hurt them as badly as it would others. But I think if you don't have a really strong community and other really strong touch points to communicate them, be that proprietary apps or you know, newsletters, whatever it might be, then again, that's probably going to be another no-no if you don't already have that really strong relationship with your audience.
Yeah, and I think building off from that, like the example I think of is kind of Lululemon. They have a really great brand community, and I think they leverage more on kind of the status of this being like a VIP or a member within a community, rather than channeling so much on using social media to kind of promote their goods. They use like activities and offline, you know, yoga lessons, all of these things that are internal within their internal apps to communicate with their consumers.
I think as well, another thing is in terms of like the implications is one interesting one could be, it might force them to get much more creative, like Sean was saying, in terms of their communications approach. So yeah, we know they're on YouTube already and they've got these kind of relaxing videos because that aligns well with the positioning of the brand. But equally, like, you know, should they be on Spotify and should they have a kind of a hub, like we've seen brands like Disney, and I think Netflix recently launched a hub on Spotify, and like, are there new interesting opportunities that they can pursue having freed up time from managing some of those platforms? So it could be quite interesting if they get creative.
And so what do you think is going to happen next? Do you think they're going to rejoin soon? Is this the start of a new trend? What do you think? Your predictions?
I'd like to think that it's not necessarily going to sort of like start some sort of domino effect of brands sort of leaving quote unquote social media. But I think as we've just spoken about, Elliot, that I think they're going to really channel into sort of innovative ways to kind of think about how they can leverage their existing social media channels that they're going to continue using. And I think more broadly, how they're going to, you know, perhaps even incorporate sort of guerrilla marketing or whatever it might be, and kind of different strategies to that are more brand-led going forward. And I think it would really undermine their authenticity to kind of suddenly switch back onto platforms, given they've taken such a bold stance to really sort of say that social media culture isn't in line with their values. So unless, you know, something changes on that front, I doubt they'll rejoin social media, because that would completely kind of undermine everything they've kind of achieved so far, I guess.
I agree, because this is their second time. And if they kind of, as Sean said, does it again and rejoin. But I do think since kind of transparency and privacy has become such a big thing, and now that consumers know more than ever about, you know, digital footprint and all these kinds of things with using social media or just online, I do think maybe in the future there will be some sort of new social media that tackles this problem. And I think that's already a trend. You now see some big players kind of creating search engines that don't use any tracking or anything like that, or user information. So I do think maybe in the near future, we will have a counterpart of a social media that Lush could try out and use.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it will probably nudge a lot of brands to maybe consciously think a bit more about, again, what they're on and what they're not, which is definitely no bad thing. And I suspect that there'll probably be a lot of brands looking quite closely at the situation and maybe waiting to see how it plays out for Lush from a, you know, from an audience perspective and from a sales perspective. And because I think that the halo and the PR glow of kind of being not the first, but at this point in time anyway, the first brand to do it means that anyone that follows is not going to maybe benefit in quite the same way. So I suspect we'll have a lot of brands, yeah, watching and waiting, and maybe those where social wasn't playing a big role already, maybe it'll force them to reevaluate, maybe looking ahead to the new year.
A wake up call out of some sort of complacency, I think, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Rather than everyone's on it, so we should be, it's more of a, you know, what's it doing for us? And exactly like you say, is it right for our brand and our positioning and our values?
So everyone should get out to the Lush stores and support the cause, so they don't need to rejoin social media. I think that's the moral of the story here. Okay, well, thank you so much, you guys, for joining us today on Saffron's podcast. And we look forward to discussing more trending topics soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Disruptive Branding. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. And do leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps other brand lovers to find us.